The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The title this morning is "The Wise Men Found Jesus Eventually." And of course, we all know, we've heard this, that actually if it were wise women, they would have asked for directions, they would have got there on time, and they would have cooked a meal. And so we know that. But actually, these were men, and so it took a bit longer. The wise men found Jesus eventually. Here are some of the observations from me to a passage of scripture for many of us would be really familiar. The first thing I want to say is that the start of the journey, they were a long, long way from Jesus. Margaret, I hope you like the picture of the camper van there. It symbolizes being about 700 to 900 miles away from Bethlehem is where they started off the journey. Now, I want to relate that to a spiritual journey, and I don't know if I was 700 miles away from Jesus when I started the journey, or 7,000 miles away. All I know is that I'd never heard of the person Jesus. I didn't darken the door of a church, but somehow, some way, God actually managed to get my attention and got me on a journey to discover the person of Jesus Christ for myself. And this Christmas time, my prayer, the prayer of Sue and everybody in leadership here, is that each of us would encounter the living Jesus Christ this Christmas. Anybody want to say an amen to that? And for some of us to experience Jesus for the first time. And it may well be that you're starting a long, long way away. Like me, you may have grown up in a home where we didn't talk about God. The only time that God was mentioned was actually as an expletive, as a blasphemy. That was my experience. And I guess I love the story about these mysterious people from the East so much is because they were stargazers. Anybody here like the stars? I know we don't get to see them very often in Wales because we have clouds above us, okay? But there was a break yesterday in the stars. I promise you there was. And I'm looking, and I'm absolutely spellbound by them. And I think I've shared this with you before, but when I was just a boy, I was around 12, 13 years of age, I'd been told in school, I don't know why it came up, it was in a science class, but I was told by the science teacher, a lovely, lovely person, and they were committed to their belief system that there was no such thing as God, and we need to get that silly nonsense out of our heads and actually just be serious students. And I'm listening to this of a person who, I must be honest, I looked up to, I respected, I still do. I thought they were an outstanding teacher. But a very different worldview to mine now. And a few days later, I was living, of course, I was in Wales, and I was on the side of a mountain. And I walked a bit further up the mountain. I lay on my back quite late at night. And I just looked at the stars, and I said, I don't believe it. I don't believe that this just happened. And so that was part of my journey. I didn't know where to go with that. And then somebody in school said, have you ever thought about reading the Bible? I'd never read the Bible. And so I started reading the Bible. It says about these people in Matthew 2:1 that they were a long way. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And for more scholars, they believe that they came from modern day Iraq or Iran. They were Persians. And I just can't begin to believe how arduous a journey that must have been for them. And for you, maybe your journey to Christ was a difficult and convoluted journey. So often it is. I remember my mum and dad. I was 15 when I came to know Jesus, and I just thank God that I've known Jesus for so many years. My dad was 50. My dad was 50 when he discovered Jesus. And his friend across the way was the local chairman of the Communist Party in Swansea. And he discovered Jesus. And I'm just, you know, I smile at that because I remember the minister saying to my father, it's okay praying for him, but be realistic. He is the chairman of the Communist Party after all. But my mum and dad dared to believe for him. His name is Tom. And Tom, with his wife, came to know Jesus. And, you know, with God's incredible sense of humor, that previous chairman of the Communist Party became a pastor and led lots of people to Jesus. Yeah, I don't know what your journey's like. Sue and I are getting to know so many of you. And we're hearing, I love the stories. And then the Christmas story is quite a remarkable one, isn't it? It's full of miracles. It's full of the angelic, as we'll see next week. But it's also God communicating with all kinds of different people. These people from the east, hundreds of miles away from Bethlehem, and God guides them to Jesus. And then you had outcasts up on the hills called shepherds who nobody wanted to be near because, frankly, they didn't wear the latest deodorant. They would never have appeared in a Lynx advert. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you remember, anybody here remember Brute? Do you remember when you just weren't a man unless you were wearing Brute? Well, these shepherds knew nothing about Brute. They smelt of the sheep. And God, in his infinite wisdom, revealed the glory to these people, the outcasts. And if you are here this morning and there are so many people who go to church and they just don't feel worthy to go to church, well, you're the right people to come in. Because we know what we are. We know our hearts. We know how stained they are. And these people, they discovered this incredible, remarkable truth that the Savior of the world was born in Bethlehem because God dared to reveal his glory to just ordinary people who are not wanted by society. And then you've got the elderly people of Simeon and Anna that meet Jesus later. And for some of you, you may be older than my dad finding Jesus, but this morning he wants to come to you again and says, I want to disclose the beauty and the wonder of Jesus to you, even in your old age. It's a beautiful story. And notice something else here. In verse 2, is they were open to hear from God. It says this, they asked Herod, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. There's much we don't know about these people, but what scholars would say to us was that they were the scholars of the day. These were the people who wanted to use their mind. There is this myth, I think, about Christianity that to become a Christian, you have to close your mind down and just have this blind faith in something. That couldn't be further from the truth. God, in his wonder, the one who created the cosmos, says to us, if you're going to discover me, you have to open your mind as well as your heart. These are some of the brightest and best. And they made that journey because of discovery of science. When Sue and I were in Tynmouth, we had the joy of meeting a doctoral student from Exeter University. His story was quite similar to mine in the sense he didn't grow up in a Christian home, but he was studying microbiology. And I said to him, why have you come to church? He said, I've come to church because of my microscope. I said, really? He said, yes, Dave. He said, the more I dig down into the minutiae of the human body and of plant life, the more I realize that this didn't just happen. There is a designer behind this. And it was his mind, it was his science that led him to Jesus Christ. Somebody has said that the mind is like a parachute. It works best when it's open. We can talk as much as we like about this God who wants to reveal himself to us, but if we do not want to see, we will never see. But the invitation is there for all of us who would dare to be open to believe, is this story, this incredible story, Chris, is it real? Because if it's real, it needs to change our lives. Because it talks about a God who created the cosmos coming down to be born humbly in a stable, to grow, to die for your sins and mine. Why? Because we could never pay the price. But he paid it for us. I don't know about you, but love like that, I think, demands a response. The next thing I would just point out here is that good things take time. Please be patient. Forgive me, I have to have a picture of a turkey in there, because I must be able to look at that and I think, what a wonderful picture that is. But you will know, those of you who have cooked a Christmas dinner, you will know that that wasn't thrown together. That takes time. If you want something thrown together, you go to McDonald's. And look, please forgive me. I'm a Big Mac fan. Okay, I'm not going to diss Big Macs and fast food. I know I should and whatever, but I love them. And a KFC, anybody up for a KFC? I love all that kind of thing, and pizzas. I love it. But you know, if I really want something special, I don't go to a fast food. I actually sit down at a table where Sue has probably been working at it for hours and hours. And then the expectation of what you're going to have. It's a beautiful thing. Good things take time. Please be patient. When I started seeking Jesus at the age of 13, it took me 2 years. And that journey wasn't a sort of a nice sort of linear journey. It was up and down dale. For others, that journey, it can be an excruciating journey. But if you keep seeking, we have this remarkable promise that you will find. God's promise to you this morning is that if you take him seriously at his word, you will find him. Next point I want to make is, do you notice they looked for the Savior in the wrong place? They went where we'd go, because you'd expect the King of the Jews to be in a palace. And verse Matthew 2, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? They instinctively went to the palace. Because you'd expect the king to be in the most lavish surroundings. And so it must have an impact on us that the God of creation brought his son to be born in a trough where the cattle fed. He didn't come to lord it over us. He came to die for us. He came humbly. Came with a heart full of grace, where he looks at us and we know what we are. We get very good, especially in the West, of hiding some of the things that we're not proud of. But God sees us as we are. And you know the incredible thing about God's word, it says he loves us anyway. He just wants to take us as we are. Right now, where you are. I have to tidy myself up a bit more if God's going to take me. No. It's almost a bit like, do you know when you know you've got friends coming round? What do? You go quickly around the house to make sure it doesn't look like a mess. God doesn't need that from us. He sees the mess. And yet he loves us still. Centuries before the birth in Bethlehem, in the prophecy of Isaiah, we read, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations." How our nations need justice. And this is what it says. It says, "He will not shout out or cry or raise his voice in the streets." And I love this. "A bruised reed he will not break." And you know, for some of you this morning, you might feel as if you're hanging by a thread. Just one little bit of a strong gust of wind, and that's you. And Jesus said, "I am so meek and gentle. I will hold you so gently that you will not break, but I will restore you." The message we have at Christmas is so powerful. Let me just say, if you are looking for Jesus, you're not going to find him at head height. You have to get on your knees. I've not been to Bethlehem. Soon I've talked about going to Israel and doing the tour. In Bethlehem, apparently they've built a cathedral now, and you can go into the cathedral, and this apparently is where Jesus was born. We don't know, of course. But behind the altar, there's a little cave. And apparently, it's that cave depicts where the first Bethlehem scene was. But if you want to get in there, you have to get on your knees. Because the entrance is so low. And I think that is a powerful depiction of how we discover Jesus. It's we come as we are. Stains and whatever, all inside, but we just say, "Jesus, here I am." And he says, "Thank you. Thank you." The wise men went to the wrong place. They made mistakes. Anybody relate to making mistakes? But God didn't give up on them. He kept guiding them. And he guided them eventually to the baby that was born. And I just want to say to you again that you might have made some mistakes in your life. You might have regrets that you think, "Oh my goodness, God could never forgive me." Well, I tell you what, there's nothing that you've done that God can't forgive. He dealt with it all at Calvary. And he's saying to you again this morning, "I'm here. You can discover my love for yourself this morning. Would you come to me?" And if you're genuinely searching for Jesus, you will find him. Many great things have happened to me in my life. I've had such a privileged life in so many ways. I found the love of my life as a young boy. God has given us some fabulous children. I've met some incredible people in my life. But the greatest thing that I've ever known is experiencing the love and grace of Jesus Christ as my Savior. And what I long for each of us here, but the family members that we have and the friends that we know, is that they would experience that love for themselves. So was all of this effort worth it? Well, you know the scene. They bow down and worship, and they hand over their gifts of gold. Did you hear the kids repeating this? So what were the gifts? And so there was gold and myrrh, and Frank sent this, which I thought was really quite funny. Gold, myrrh, and frankincense. And we could talk about the imagery of that, but we won't now. But what does God want us to give him? I've already said it. We just give him ourselves. The carol says it beautifully. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Dear Lord, I give you my heart. Shall we pray? Lord, it's an incredible thing that you want our sin-stained hearts. And yet, that's why Jesus came. You knew, Lord, that we needed rescuing. The language of Scripture is about redemption, about being bought back. And we know, Lord, that the price that you paid to purchase us was the greatest price that could ever be paid through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just want us to receive again your love and your forgiveness. And Lord, we would say, please, Lord, take us as we are. But we thank you, Lord, that as you take us as we are, you love us enough not to leave us as we are. Father, would you please show us more of Jesus this Christmas? And would you help us to reflect more of his beauty, humility, and grace? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just pray God's blessing on you. Father, thank you. Thank you for every person and the families, Lord, that we represent. Lord, would you open our eyes and help us to see Jesus? Father, we pray it in his precious name. Amen. Amen.